Is it worth paying more at the pump to fix Iowa's crumbling roads and bridges? The public seems to say no. This is River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. Today on the show, we'll talk with the chair of the House Transportation Committee and the Iowa Director of Americans for Prosperity about the pros and cons of an increase. We'll hear how the gas tax formula works and why tinkering with the formula may erode support for a tax increase in the legislature. And then we'll talk with interest groups who have the most at stake in the debate. They support a gas tax hike. We also want to hear from you. Join our conversation after this news. This is River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters, live in the State House Law Library. Right now, if you take Interstate 80 from Council Bluffs to Davenport, about the cheapest you can find gasoline is around $3.20 here in the state. Well, there's a debate going on here at the Capitol about increasing the tax on gasoline. My guests today are Representative Josh Burns, a Republican from Osage. He's also the chair of the House Transportation Committee. He'll be with us for the whole show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
We'll also talk with Stu Anderson. He's the director of the Planning, Programming, and Modal Division of the Iowa Department of Transportation. Stu, welcome.
Good afternoon.
And on the phone for the first half, we also have Mark Lucas. He's the state director of Americans for Prosperity, a conservative political advocacy group. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Clay.
We reached out to Democrats in the Senate. Also want to add that they declined the invitation. And River to River listeners, would you support a gas tax increase? Why or why not? Give us a call, 866-780-9100, or leave us a comment, IPRs on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. So before we get into the politics of everything here, Stu, help us understand the gas tax. Let's understand how the formula works and how much money is raised from the gas tax currently.
Sure. Just to provide a little perspective first, there are three major revenue sources for road and bridge infrastructure in the state. Of course, cities and counties can provide local funding primarily through property tax or local option sales tax into their infrastructure. The federal government also provides funding to cities, counties, and the state. But the primary source of revenue for all jurisdictions in Iowa comes from the state road use tax fund. The state road use tax fund provides about $1.3 billion estimated in fiscal year 2013 for Iowa's 946 cities, 99 counties, and the department. The state road use tax fund is made up of revenue from three main mechanisms. The largest source comes from our annual vehicle registration fees that we pay every year to license our vehicle. That generates about $510 million, or about 39% of the road use tax fund. The second largest source comes from the fuel tax that you referred to. About $440 million per year comes from that, or about 34% of the road use tax fund in a year. And then the third primary mechanism comes from fee for new registration. That's the 5% fee we pay when we purchase a new or used vehicle in the state. And that's about $270 million. The fuel tax in Iowa, there is a separate fee for ethanol blended fuels, gasoline, and diesel. For gasoline, it's 21 cents per gallon. Ethanol blended fuels are 2 cents per gallon less, or 19 cents per gallon. And then diesel is taxed at 22.5 cents per gallon.
So what are the outstanding needs in terms of infrastructure when you look at the state of Iowa?
Sure. Shortly after Governor Branstad took office, he established Governor's Transportation 2020 Citizen Advisory Commission to assist the Department of Transportation in looking at the roadway needs in the state of Iowa and getting some public input on whether that was having an impact on their ability to get to work, access health care, recreational activities, etc. And that commission was established in March of 2011, and they met throughout 2011, including six public input meetings across the state attended by over 500 people. And through that work and analysis of the department, an estimate was completed that there is a $215 million per year shortfall to meet just those most critical needs that exist on Iowa's public roadway system. If you look at all the needs that exist now or into the next 20 years, That figure of total needs is well over $1 billion per year. But recognizing that we're in an era of limited resources and we all need to prioritize our needs, that's where that estimate of most critical needs was established of $215 million per year.
So this doesn't seem to be an issue breaking down on traditional party lines. I remember on Transportation Day here at the Capitol when there were many transportation interest groups here, and Republican Governor Terry Branstad spoke in favor of the gas tax increase. That same day, the chairman of the Iowa Republican Party, A.J. Spiker, wrote a letter against the increase. Is this issue more of an urban-rural divide, more so than a political divide?
I wouldn't even say it's an urban-rural divide. One of the great aspects of this commission was that the public input and public engagement aspect of it, again, with meetings across the state in rural and urban areas. And it was a pretty consistent theme that the commission heard at those meetings was whether urban areas, rural areas, that the infrastructure deterioration is having an impact. It's increasing the costs of transportation to move goods and people, and it's impacting growth opportunities for the state's economy. So it's definitely a statewide issue, and it's also we're very blessed in the state of Iowa to have transportation be a nonpartisan issue. And I think that benefits from a couple things. One, we have a transportation commission appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, that makes all the programming decisions for the department on the state-owned system that has really kept the political challenges out of this topic.
So how much is allocated for roads in cities versus towns, counties, or unincorporated areas?
Sure. There are a couple formulas in the Code of Iowa for how these revenues are allocated. The great majority of the road use tax fund is distributed by a formula that's been in place since the early 80s, where 47.5% comes to the state for roads under the state jurisdiction, 20% goes to Iowa cities, and 32.5% go to Iowa's counties.
So, Representative Burns, you're the chair of the House Transportation Committee. What makes you think this is going to pass? I know you have a copy of this bill sitting on your desk right now in the chamber. You're just waiting to file it. Why will it pass?
I think it'll pass. Just, you know, exactly what Stu was talking about. I think that, you know, we have legislators from all over the state of Iowa, and as I visit with each one of them, I have yet to find somebody that said, we don't have a problem with our infrastructure in Iowa. So, you know, everybody knows that it's an issue. Everybody has things at home, whether it's a bridge that's been embargoed or, you know, a roadway that's got some really nice potholes right now that have been exemplified with the current frost moving its way up. But I think everybody realizes that we've got an issue. The argument comes in and how do we fix it? And that's where kind of some of the decisiveness comes from.
What are you hearing from some of your constituents? Osage is a fairly rural community. How are your constituents having the problems on their roads and bridges?
Well, I'll tell you, the last weekend we had a forum, actually had two forums, and it got brought up. I think it gets brought up at every one of my forums because they know that, you know, transportation chair, let's keep bending his ear on this. And I think out of all those forums, there was one person, actually two people, that out of probably 50-some people that were opposed to the fuel tax. So the support in my district is overwhelming. We got Highway 218 that runs from the Avenue of the Saints to the Minnesota border. It is one of the worst roads that I've come across in all of Iowa. I mean, I have a 15-year-old daughter that's just starting out driving, and a heavy rainstorm, I would not let her drive on 218 because the cupping of where the wheels are, there's probably 3-4 inches of water that would come in those cuppings, and I can't imagine how a young driver could handle that hydroplaning. So there's a lot of safety issues with this infrastructure right now.
Mark Lucas with the Americans for Prosperity Iowa chapter, you see things a bit different. Why shouldn't the state approve a gas tax in your mind?
Sure. Well, I've been traveling all across the state. And today I'm in Altoona. Last week I was in Cedar Rapids and in Newton, and everybody mentioned that they did not want to have their gas tax increased. And it's because we've got close to a $1 billion budget surplus in Des Moines. Here in Iowa, we're very blessed with a vibrant economy. We just saw here in Altoona, Facebook's coming here. We've got one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. We've got this great surplus. So taxpayers are a little bit miffed at this idea that our economy is doing so well, yet that our politicians in Des Moines can't prioritize their spending. There's nobody that wants better roads and bridges here in Iowa than I do. I'm a lifelong Iowan, and I hear from these folks that say, yes, we do need improvements. However, we think that people in Des Moines should spend their money more wisely.
You point to the surplus. How likely is it that that money can be spent on an ongoing expense? Representative Burns, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, it's very unlikely. You know, one of the things that, you got to look at this thing from a big picture perspective. Right now, and we can get into, the federal government, and we can start talking about their budget and where things are at there. We don't know as a state what's going to happen with the federal government and their budgeting. There's going to be some things that we may have to pick up the tab for. I know that in 2015, we've learned that we may lose our federal road funding because they have overspent the amount of money that they've collected. So I don't agree with this approach of spending these surplus dollars because, we need to sit on those dollars in case we need to spend that. Maybe the federal government cuts us on education and we got to pick up the tab on some of that education or healthcare costs or things like that. You don't go and just spend down your surplus on something like this when we already have a very good model in place that's constitutionally protected. It's been around for a long time. It's a proven system. Here's the other thing that why this surplus idea does not work at all is simply because our county supervisors, our county engineers, our city folks, those people have to plan their road projects 5 years out. And if we're going to take one-time money and use that to kind of give a stimulus package to our infrastructure, that's not sustainable. It doesn't allow these people to predict out on what projects they can do and can't do. I mean, anybody that knows that's in road construction knows that the costs fluctuate. You can have oil prices go up. It increases the cost of your materials that you're using. So it's not a sustainable model. I'm disappointed in the fact that, the Americans for Prosperity are opposed to this because if you really look at it, you want to talk about prosperity in the state of Iowa, good infrastructure is going to bring prosperity. As I work with companies on economic growth and development, they want good infrastructure. People want safe roads. We're competing with other states to try to get businesses here. That infrastructure piece is huge. And so I'm disappointed in that approach and here's the other thing. We've got 25 counties in the state of Iowa right now that are bonding for their roads. So you want to talk about truly protecting the taxpayer, let's go ahead and talk about what happens when you bond and you got these people that are paying interest on these bonds. These taxpayers are paying interest for something that they will never see through that interest that's being paid. So if you take a look at the different models that are out there, this is truly the best model that we currently have in the state of Iowa for increasing our infrastructure.
Mark Lucas, you've heard the representative's take on this. What do you think of this not being able to use? You see it differently. You think the surplus could be used even if it is an ongoing expense?
Most definitely. And, I was a small-town city councilman in Wilton, Iowa, and the priorities for every level of government, number one, is to protect their citizens. And I think number two is to provide a solid infrastructure so we can promote prosperity and commerce. When you look at what's being spent in Des Moines, there's a lot of things that don't fit underneath those two priorities. And I just feel like we need to have a set list of priorities for our roads, for our bridges, that we can tackle this with because, it's the Iowa DOT Director Paul Trombino said in the Quad City Times that he didn't have a list per se that we would have to review our road program and make adjustments where necessary. I think we need to have a list of priorities for those bridges. I know that the representative was talking about a five-year plan, but we need to fight through these regulations and do what's right for the Iowa taxpayer. It does not pass the smell test with Iowans paying taxes that they're going to have to get paid more at the gas pump when we have this type of budget surplus in Des Moines.
It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. We're talking about the debate at the State House surrounding a potential gas tax hike. My guests are Representative Josh Burns, a Republican from Osage. He's also the chair of the House Transportation Committee, Stu Anderson with the Iowa Department of Transportation, and Mark Lucas with the Iowa chapter of Americans for Prosperity. Reach out to you. Would you support a gas tax increase? Why or why not? I should add, we are having some difficulties with our phones right now, so please leave us a comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at IPR Talk. Representative Burns, you wanted to add something there to the conversation that Mark was talking about there.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure what the regulations are that Mark's talking about that are preventing us from doing any sort of infrastructure or how that relates to fuel tax. But, we talk about you know, doing things that are responsible for Iowa citizens. And, you know, this weekend I was doing some research with some auto mechanics and kind of talking to them about, you know, let's say somebody hits a pothole on Highway 218, blows a tire. You know, what's it going to cost just to have that tire replaced? And, you know, we've got a lot of people in Iowa spending a lot of money on repairs on their vehicles. Just, you know, I spent about $1,500 this last year in my wife's vehicle because she drives 218 every day. And you know, so there's so many things here that that are really tied into this infrastructure issue. And I think that is being responsible for the citizens of Iowa that we do look out for this this infrastructure piece. It's one of the essential functions of government. You know, in being the transportation chair and doing a lot of research on this, in 1983, President Reagan raised the federal fuel tax. It wasn't a popular move, but he raised the federal fuel tax because he said that the infrastructure is an essential function of government. So, you know, that's one of the responsibilities that we have. And right now, this is, you know, we've had this model in place for so long. It's a proven system.
The governor refers to the gas tax rather as a user fee, saying that it's not a tax. It only impacts those that use cars and trucks. You know, this is a little bit of a political hot potato at times. You know, whenever I hear about the gas tax, I have a flashback to the last election in the 3rd District Congressional race between those two incumbents when there was an ad against former Democratic Congressman Leonard Boswell where they basically just played a clip of him saying several times he supported a gas tax. And he, of course, lost that race against Republican Tom Latham. Why are you sticking to this position? It seems politically risky.
Well, you know, hey, my job is to represent my constituents. My job is to represent Iowans. And, you know, when I go back home and I go to these forums are a mixture of Republicans and Democrats, and when 90-some percent of those people are saying, we want the fuel tax. Now, I'd be willing to bet if we took a look at the audience that Mark's going to talk to, and he's saying the people he's talking to don't want it, it's because they're people that are supporters of Americans for Prosperity. Of course. You know, so, you know, there's a little bit of a skewed view on that. But when I go home and I'm talking to these people and they want to have a fuel tax, these are people that are common citizens, they're common Iowans, and they come from all sorts of backgrounds, different economic statuses, different party affiliations, and they're overwhelmingly telling me, we want this. So that's why I'm doing it.
Mark Lucas with Americans for Prosperity, are you confident there would be political consequences for office holders who support a gas tax increase?
Absolutely. You know, you brought up a great model of the Congressman Latham's race. That should be a pretty good blueprint for any politician to look at to say, trying to raise the gas tax is not politically expedient. And also, it's just not my crowd. So Des Moines Register conducted a poll that showed that 63% of Iowans do not support a gas tax. It's bad politically and it's just bad policy. I think it's really unfortunate that we're focusing today on the gas tax when we need to focus on, you know, long-term, meaningful property tax reform, income tax reform. These are the type of things that will bring prosperity to Iowa, and we can solve this problem with transportation by setting priorities. But the first thing that we need to do is relieve the taxpayer of these burdens that they're seeing every single day. You know, I toured the state last year hosting a $1.84 per gallon gas event. You know, I heard some very heart-wrenching stories from Iowans who could barely afford to fill up their car. I had an elderly couple in Coralville tell me that they haven't been able to fill up their gas tank for over a year. And a young Waterloo woman asked if she could still get the discount rate, even though she only had a $5 bill to put in her tank. So this gas tax hike, you know, may not hurt legislators or the lobbyists in Des Moines, but it you know, it will help crush many of our fellow Iowans that are struggling today just to pay the bills.
All right, Mark, I understand you need to go, so this is where you'll leave the conversation. But thanks so much for joining us today on River to River.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Right. And Representative Burns, he brings up property tax reform, and the governor has regularly said, he even mentioned it, hinted at it this morning, he's willing to talk about the gas tax increase, or user fee, as he calls it, once property tax reform is taken care of. So, you know, that's one of the sticking points that the legislature has to get through to be able to adjourn. Do you think you can move forward with a gas tax increase when property taxes are still right there and needing to be taken care of?
You know, well, and for me personally, I didn't really want to see the two issues coupled together anyway, that, you know, if you get one, then you get the other. I think that they're completely independent issues of each other. But I think that actually I heard that, you know, maybe there's some good progress made over the weekend on conference committee dealing with property tax. So, you know, if that's how it has to play out, that's how it plays out. So, you know, we'll find out some information today if we're making some advances on that property tax in the conference committee. And if that's the case, then, you know, these folks have said, if we get that, then we're going to do this. So I'll be excited to see if that's the next stage of it. One of the things, too, that, you know, to your listeners out there, what you heard from Mark there was some great political theater on crushing Iowans with a 10-cent gas tax. Part of the thing that happened is that these folks that the governor put together for this commission, they took a look, and basically the average Iowan puts on about 15,000 miles a year based on fuel-efficient vehicles and miles per gallon and whatnot. They're looking at about $68 a year is what they're talking about, an increase of what people would pay. I would like to, you know, it's too bad Mark's not on the phone anymore, but I'd like to ask him, you know, that $68, it's going to crush Iowans. What about when I go back to, what if they have to fix a tire? What if they have to put new tie rod ends on their vehicle? What if they have to have their vehicle realigned? There's a lot of shops. You can't even get into the shop for less than $70, $80 an hour with your mechanics fee. So, you know, when we start talking and sensationalizing the issue, you know, we got to wade through that. The other thing I would say, too, about the Des Moines Register polling, you know, in my opinion, I think that the polling question that they ask, you know, if I asked a question of most Iowans that said, do you want to see an increase in your tax? Most of them are going to say no. What I've found is that when you educate Iowans on how the fuel tax actually works, and if that question actually educated them and said, this is how it works, it's constitutionally protected, there's a funding formula that takes place, out-of-state drivers are going to contribute to this, I think most Iowans would say, well, that makes sense. And then and I guarantee you, you would see more support for that fuel tax if you just change the question a little bit. So I don't put a lot of credit into that. And the other thing is, you know, you talk about the political fallout for politicians if they were to support a fuel tax. I honestly, that's disappointing to me. I mean, I think that we as legislators, we have a job down here, and that's to represent Iowans. And if you're more worried about getting reelected than doing your job, then you're probably not in the right business. So I find that whole piece disappointing that we're going to legislate based on whether or not we're going to get reelected again. So,
Listeners, we want to apologize, but we're having some phone troubles. We hope to be able to take your calls in the second half. In the meantime, some of the social media response we're getting, Kyle tweets, raising the gas tax seems like the environmentally responsible thing to do. Emily on Facebook writes, by raising gas taxes, all drivers who use Iowa roads help pay to repair them. Using the surplus means only Iowans are picking up the tab for damage that is being caused. We're getting lots of response. Patrick on Facebook wrote, horrible idea. Gas is so expensive already that it is hurting the average Iowan. Gas prices will go up this summer, according to predictions, and our legislators want to add even greater expense, as much as 3 or 4% more to our household budget for car gas. That is so unfair to the average citizen. Certainly, we'll continue having this conversation when we return for the second part of the show. Thanks so much to my guests. Thanks to Representative Burns, who will stick with us, Mark Lucas with Americans for Prosperity, and to Stu Anderson, filling us in there at the beginning. Thanks so much. In the second half of the show, we'll talk with Bob Kolwus. He's the co-owner of BTI Commodities, a flatbed trucking company based in Des Moines, as well as Dick Voss, president of Iowa Taxpayers Association. And Representative Burns will stay with us for the second half. I'm Clay Masters. This is River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. It's River to River on Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. We're talking about tax hike on gasoline. There's a debate around whether or not the state should increase the tax, and it's not dividing along party lines. With me here in the Statehouse Law Library is Bob Kolwus, co-owner of BTI Special Commodities, a flatbed trucking company based here in Des Moines. Bob, welcome to River to River.
Thank you, Clay. It's a pleasure to be here, and hopefully we can carry forward some information here.
All right. And on the phone, Dick Voss. He's president of the Iowa Taxpayers Association. Dick, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. It's good to be here, Clay.
And back with us for the second half, we have Representative Josh Burns. He's Republican from Osage and the chair of the House Transportation Committee. We also want to hear from you. Our phones are back. Give us a call, 866-780-9100, or leave us a comment. IPR's on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at IPR Talk. Would you support a gas tax increase? Why or why not? So, Bob, we'll start with you. Your company, BTI Special Commodities, tell us about your business and about how many trucks you have.
We're a 48-state flatbed carrier, and we operate 90 trucks. We're based here in Des Moines, but as I say, we run all 48 states. And something unusual about the trucking industry that many people don't realize is that no matter where we travel, whatever state we happen to purchase fuel, we pay tax at the pump in that state. And then that tax is credited towards the states where we actually do our trucking. So even if we buy fuel out of Iowa, we still pay Iowa tax on the roads, as do other carriers that are purchasing fuel in other states as they pass through Iowa. They all pay tax on the roads based on the mileages that they run in this state and their fuel mileage. So the bulk of this tax is paid by truckers, and an awful lot of them aren't Iowa truckers. So it's good. We're getting our Iowa roads paid for by people that actually use them, hence the use tax.
You said about 98 trucks. How much and what kind of freight do you haul?
Well, we're a typical flatbed carrier. We haul a lot of building materials, machinery, tires, steel products. We're lumber. We're a very typical flatbed carrier.
So what do you estimate your costs will be from a gas tax increase?
Well, we're talking about a dime a tax, I understand, spread mm-hmm. over a three-year period. So we're talking 3 to 4 cents a year, spread over 3 years. We see more variance in that from the pump from day to day, hour to hour sometimes, okay? And our costs, I guess I really haven't sat and done the actual numbers because it's fairly minute. It's a very small number for us based on the fact that we're paying, you know, $3.68 a gallon for diesel fuel at right now, and we average 6 miles a gallon. So we're somewhere around 61, 62 cents a gallon. If you add 3 cents to that, it goes up maybe a half a penny. You know, it doesn't really per mile. It doesn't really a huge effect on us. Okay, and it's a cost that obviously we have to cover, but we obviously do that through a cost increase to our customers.
So while your industry is one of the largest contributors to mm-hmm. that tax, you're saying it wouldn't have that big of an impact on your
it really
company?
Wouldn't. I mean, we look at ourselves as highway consumers. We're the big trucks that wear out the highways. We need to pay our fair share. That's the way we feel about it. And the infrastructure is so critically important to the state in our business. You know, our customers are here in Iowa. If they have a finished product on their dock, it really isn't worth anything to them unless we can get to it and get it picked up and get it delivered to their customer. And if we can't get there because the roads are so unmanageable, then it costs money. It costs them money. It costs the state money. It hurts the economy in general.
So what do you hear from your drivers? I mean, are there routes that are planned that you have them go so they avoid certain parts of the state? Where are some of the bad places?
Well, we do a lot of management of our drivers in terms of where they purchase fuel. It's our greatest expense, and also the number of miles that they run, because that obviously adds to it. But there are certain parts where we won't run. We try and stay off particular roads. It isn't necessarily because there's no customers there or anything like that. It's just that we've discovered over the years and over a period of time that it's just best not to go that route. For instance, that Highway 218 you're talking about, we'll run 20 over to 35 and go north rather than try and run up that highway, because it's just not a good road to drive on. And we're not helping anybody running over it with big trucks. So our idea is just let's just run on the road are good for us.
Dick Voss, how do you see things when you're looking at the tax increase for gasoline?
Well, I think Representative Burns described it pretty well. There is a cost to not repairing roads as well, and Bob's getting at that too. The wear and tear on your vehicles is a cost that we don't necessarily see every week, but we do see it once a year or twice a year when we have to make repairs. There have been some credible studies done that indicate that the wear and tear on a vehicle in Des Moines, for example, costs over $1,400 for that vehicle. Now, Josh Burns mentioned the studies done, and I just did a little math myself. If you drive 15,000 miles a year, you get 20 miles per gallon. You're going to burn 750 gallons in a year. If the gas tax goes up 10 cents, that's $75. So the comparison is clear. Probably the other big factor and the reason that our association is made up of 150 businesses in Iowa, from very small ones to large ones, is in favor of more funding for transportation infrastructure is the fact that transportation is important to economic development and job growth in Iowa. So we think it's part of a good environment, part of a good infrastructure.
So you're for the increase of tax on gas?
We are. Our members were not unanimous on this. It took quite a bit of discussion, but some of the members who do quite a bit of transportation and will pay most of the tax, you know, will pay taxes on it, or would pay an increased tax, have voted for it.
So I'm interested. Bob was talking about how they're they contribute a large amount, but it's not significant. It's a minute amount of money that it would cost if it was increased. Are there other people, a part of your association, that see things differently, or what are those people that are against the gas tax increase saying to you as to why they wouldn't support it?
It's primarily a competitive issue for some of our members who do business in the borders, around the borders of the state, particularly Missouri, which has a very low gas tax. And our policy statement does support a gas tax increase, but being mindful of border competition. So, if there's perhaps we would suggest maybe 10 cents isn't the right number, it may be a different number, but that's the biggest problem, I think, that our members see, the business members, is that if you're doing business down near Missouri, your competition is paying lower gas taxes. If you're selling gas near Missouri, your competition is selling it at a lower price because of the lower gas tax.
Gene in Van Buren County is on the line. He called 866-780-9100. Gene, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I think rather than talk about the gas tax and all this kind of thing, why don't we raise the minimum wage? We're paying $3 plus for gasoline. Well, maybe that's okay if you're making $15, $20 an hour, but look what our minimum wage is in Iowa. And let's get the minimum wage up to where we can afford it. Then if we have to have the gas tax, we can take care of it. Rather than give all kinds of tax rebates or tax reductions and so on and so on, let's just raise the wage up so that we're more equal as being able to pay for the gas tax and or cost of the road. So I'll just leave that there for the discussion. Thank you very
much. So
that's
interesting. Yeah, thank you, Gene. So that's an interesting point. So give people a higher minimum wage so maybe they can afford to pay for something like this. How would you respond to Gene?
Well, and I think I'd be honest, I wasn't never thought we'd have any discussion here about minimum wage today. But I think that again, we got to go back to the issue at hand here, and so we're talking about a segment of people there. I'm talking big picture here, and we start talking about the fuel tax increase and the whole overall picture here. I'm sure that a wage increase would help some of those people that are maybe having a hard time making ends meet or whatever, but that's not going to be the only solution that fixes our fuel tax issue. I will say one thing, too, about they brought up Missouri. Missouri pretty much bonds for all their road projects that they have down there. So no matter what we do in the state of Iowa, we will never be competitive with Missouri when it comes to what our retailers on the border side is doing. And then as far as the retailers on, let's say, the Illinois side, the Minnesota side up in my neck of the woods, if you've been following the news lately, Illinois is putting together a major infrastructure package, and that probably is going to include an increase in the fuel tax. Minnesota is currently in their legislation talking about increasing the fuel tax. Iowa has always prided itself as a pay-as-you-go state when we talk about infrastructure, and we don't want to be in Missouri. We don't want to start bonding for all of our road projects, and that's why this is so important, and I'm ecstatic that we're finding some supporting groups out there that I wasn't quite for sure if they're on board with this. So I think that I appreciate that support on this, and they're doing a good job representing those 150 businesses by being in favor of this.
River to River listeners, are you in support of it? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. reach out to us on social media. We're on Facebook, as well as tweet us at IPR Talk. Would you support a gas tax increase? Why or why not? And Bob, with BTI Special Commodities, you had something you wanted to add to that.
Yeah, I wanted to make mention of the fact that this 10 cents per gallon that we're talking about is over a three-year period. But at the end of that three-year period, when there's an actual 10 cents per gallon added to it, it creates 5,500 jobs in the construction industry. So some of these people that are on having minimum pay jobs, there's going to be opportunities for them to make a lot more money. These are good-paying jobs that are going to be there for quite some time, okay? So it comes back actually threefold from that. The increase we're talking about is a $200 million increase to the road tax fund, and that comes back. It's multiplied by three by the time that money is out to the construction worker, and he buys this and he does that. It multiplies itself three times. So we're actually talking about an increase in Iowa's economy of close to $600 million. So it's all good. It's going to help the minimum wage people.
So, but at the same time, too, there are these, you know, people don't see it that long term. They're driving their car, they're on empty, their budgets are tight, and they can't afford maybe to put gas right now in their car. I mean, what do you say to the, I mean, Mark Lucas talked about it a little bit, but I mean, is there a concern that the smaller contributors to it are, it's the inverse of what you're saying, where they're having to provide less to how it's supported, but it's a bigger piece of their budget?
As I said, it's 10 cents spread over 3 years. And if that's $75 for all 10 cents per Dick's math, that's $25 a year. You know, if they can't afford $25 a year, they can't afford to fix their car. You know, I mean, I don't see it as being that big a huge a problem if they're, you know, average type of a driver.
Representative.
Well, and I just think, you know, the way our fuel prices fluctuate on such a daily basis anyway. You know, I mean, are those people not filling their car because, you know, they got up that morning and they went and, you know, and maybe there are a couple that, you know, that fall into that. But I just think it's such a low percentage. But, you know, the other thing is, again, you know, what other kind of you know, it's a fee. I mean, if you're using the roads, you pay for what you're using. And it doesn't matter if you live in the state of Iowa, you live in the state of Minnesota, you come across our roads and we're getting something from everybody for that use. The other thing is, part of the reason we want to phase this in over 3 years is because we don't want to have a big negative impact on those retailers. We want to phase this in so that we don't come in and say, okay, all of a sudden it's going to be a 10 cent increase, and now you may be at a disadvantage with a retailer across the border. So part of that, we're trying to be self-conscious as we do this, and that's part of the reason for the phase-in.
We have an email from Mark. He writes, I have no problem with a moderate gasoline tax increase as long as the license fees for alternate fuel vehicles are raised an appropriate amount. Mm-hmm. He says, as a bicyclist, registration fees for bicycles that use the road to help offset their inherent costs for road maintenance also make complete sense. So there's somebody saying alternative fuels. We haven't talked a whole lot about that, but that's also a part of the plan?
Yeah, that, you know, and that does. It has to be talked about. He's exactly right in his email, and that's something we have to have a discussion on. And I do know, I believe it was in the DOT omnibus bill, is that we did increase the fee on electric vehicles. So we're trying to find some of these other, you know, other folks that are using the roads. And the whole bicycle thing, I know that's something that's been brought up before, but I think right now we're pretty much focused on things that are consuming a fuel to take a look at. But no, right now we have been thinking about some of those electric vehicles, your hybrid vehicles, and some things like that.
Bob.
Okay. One of the points that was brought up was the Iowa tax rate as opposed to states that surround us. A little bit of information on that. Iowa has a 22.5 cent per tax or per gallon tax on diesel fuel at present. Minnesota is 28 cents. Illinois is 37.8 cents, and they're talking about raising that, okay? So the Illinois people can come to Iowa and buy fuel and do it cheaper. similarly to the people in going to Missouri, because Missouri is only 17 cents a gallon down there, and Nebraska is 26.3 cents. In Missouri, because they bond, from my understanding, a greater portion of that 17 cents goes for paying the bond, and less actually goes towards fixing and repairing their roads. So they're sort of caught in a whirlwind there that's really going to be quite expensive for them to get out of it. I don't look for that tax to stay that low forever.
Well, we're going to go to the line here. Bill in Waterloo, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm seeing that the Iowa Farm Bureau is for the tax hike. I'm okay with the ag fuel tax break that they get for planting crops and stuff, but do they still get a tax break for hauling to market?
That's an interesting question. I don't have the answer for Bob. What do you?
My understanding is if they use an on-road piece of equipment that's licensed on-road, they pay motor fuel tax.
They do.
If they use a tractor pulling a wagon, then it's what we call red fuel or the non-taxed fuel. So it depends on what they're using.
And those farmers that are the majority of the farmers are now switching over to a semi for hauling their grains and they're paying the registration fees on that truck. They're not exempt from paying those registration fees. It's not the same as what it is on the commercial registration fees, but they're also using it a shorter time period in most cases. So there are some things there that you won't want to get caught with that red fuel in your semi hauling corn to town. That's not something they want to pay that fine on.
River to River listeners, we're hearing a lot of support from the groups that are on here. A lot of the opposition seems to be from different grassroots or different individuals. What do you make of this? Give us a call, 866-780-9100. Leave us a comment on Facebook or tweet us at IPR Talk. We'll go now to Greg, who called us at 866-780-9100. He's in Polk City. Greg, what are your thoughts on this discussion?
Civil engineer from Iowa State University, and I've seen studies where the damage done by trucks is far greater than what happens by a car. It takes over 200,000 cars in a mile to do the damage that a truck does in a mile. So I believe I'm against it because of the disparity that it penalizes the cars over the trucks, and that this really ought to come from something like bond issues or subsidies that can deal with the issue better than the poorer or lower paid workers.
Okay. Bob, how would you respond to that?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you, I would be way against, adamantly against any kind of bonding. I think that's a huge backwards step. Yes, we are highway consumers. I admit to that, and we understand that, and we do want to pay our fair share. But I think you also need to keep in mind that every truck that travels through Iowa, whether it's an Iowa-based carrier or whomever, is paying for every mile that they travel. The car's not that way. The gasoline tax is not that way. The gasoline tax is collected at the pump in the state. If they're out-of-state drivers, then they're paying part of that tax for Iowa, and I think it's like 17%. It isn't a great deal, but it's of the gasoline tax. But every truck pays his the same amount. It's all fair, and that's why we're talking about making an increase, because it's going to be across the board for everybody that uses the highway. It is truly a user fee, is how we view it. And I think that it, based on studies that we've gotten from the DOT, that it more than covers the cost that they're talking about for the future.
So if it was bonded, it would put more of a burden on your shoulders, and that's not something you'd
Well, when you bond something, you have to pay interest on it. The bondholders are going to have to have some return on their investment. That return on the investment does not go towards fixing the highways. So when you bond, you're really going backwards. You're taking money out of the fund that isn't going to go towards repair of the roads. And that's wrong. We need to put the money where it counts.
We're going to go to Nate in Cedar Rapids. Nate, what are your thoughts here?
Oh, hey, the fellow from Americans for Prosperity, I mean, that's primarily funded by the Koch brothers who produce oil. And it's obviously they're going to be against it because any increase in the price of gas is going to lower demand, which is going to be less profit for them. But as an Iowan, that means more money going to the state, more money coming back to me. It's a win for Iowa, a loss for the oil companies. So I completely understand why they would be against it. The Koch brothers, I mean, they fly helicopters around. They don't really care about our roads here in this state. And I wanted to point out, I mean, I drive a truck on a route. It's pounded on Highway 13. I deal with it in my car. Me and my wife's parents live in Wisconsin. As soon as we cross the border into Wisconsin, where the gas prices are a little higher, they have a higher gas tax, the roads are immediately better. Same thing when you go to Illinois. And growing up in this state, we had good roads. We'd go to the other states, and they had the bad roads. And I'd be so glad to get back to Iowa because, you know, the public infrastructure, that's where I live. That's what the rivers, the roads. You know, I don't spend all my time in my house, so I'm out in the public and infrastructure. That's what we need. That's what we need to spend money on. This is a win for everybody. So,
okay, thanks, Nate. That's where we're going to have to wrap up. Thanks for your call. And thanks to my guests today, Representative Josh Burns. Thanks for being here, as well as Bob Kolwas.
Thank you.
And Dick Voss with us as well. And this is supposed to be the last week of the legislative session. It's supposed to wrap up at the end of the week, but we will likely be here next week. So come back with us for another Legislative Monday a week from today. River to River is produced by Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from John Pimble. Podcasting and on-demand audio of River to River are available at iowapublicradio.org. We always welcome your comments and questions about this program. Contact us anytime, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Clay Masters. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. Thank you.